Thank you. Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. I pray you'd bless as we just look at some things about being a disciple and as we work our way towards being closer to you and being used. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are in our series on being a disciple. Did we hand out the sheets? Everybody have those? We've been going through that. Of course, we understand already, and I'm not going to go through it again, from Luke 14:27 and other verses. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so a disciple is something that has requirements. A disciple is something that requires a little bit more from us. And the key word for a disciple is commitment. God wants us to be committed. And so we're looking through the steps of growth and just looking at that. Number one, we talked about starting with salvation. Number two, we talked about growing through devotion. Number three, we talked about connecting to others. That's in our adult Bible classes. We started number four, and we'll finish it tonight, commitment to church. Okay? Commitment to church. Church is important. We said letter A, joining a church is a commitment to it. Letter B, joining a church is a first step to greater involvement. God wants us to serve him. We'll look at that in a later point. We can't do that until we have committed to the church. We said letter C, becoming a member brings responsibility, not just privilege. Letter D, being a member of church is more than just coming Sunday morning. We said letter E, church membership and attendance should be a conviction, not a convenience, all right? That means I come to church because I know God wants me to be here, I'm going to be here. All right, this is new. Letter F, let's commit to coming to church prepared. Let's be ready when we come to church. What do you mean by that? Doing your hair? Well, yeah, I do my hair every week I come to church, okay? It takes a long time. Looks like you don't spend much time on yours either. But being prepared in many different ways. We don't want church just to become a cold ritual. We come to get something out of it and to bring something to it. That's very important. By the way, Sunday ought to be one of the best days of your week. Get to be with your family at church, with God's people, helping others, seeing people saved, seeing people baptized. It's an important thing. Look at the little bullet there. What you get out of church depends on how well you are prepared for it. Okay? I've had people, they've visited here sometimes because they have a spouse or something that makes them come. And it's like, you can almost tell when you look at them, and I see everybody when I'm up here, it's almost like, I dare you, bless me. It's like, I just don't have that much energy, okay? You know, there's 90 other people that can get blessed. I'll let you slide. But it's like, if they don't want anything, you're not going to get anything. But if you come to church prepared and excited, God might just give you something. And that's very, very important. Brother Board said that, he told me we were talking last week, the video he shows. He says, whenever I show that video in a church, the way the people respond to it tells me, they're really ready for a missions conference or a missions revival. Because we go to churches, and some churches you can tell, wow. Other churches, it's like, oh, that was nice. You know, you didn't show us the fruit and the nuts, but okay, what's next? Okay, so that's how church is. If we're not ready and prepared for it, when we come, we're not going to get much out of it. I want to give you a little checklist here to help us to be prepared. And these are very common, practical things, but I think practical things help. All right, is that on your paper there? All right, here's your checklist. Ready? Be careful about being out late on Saturday. Being out late. So I wanted to go out and do this late night activity with my husband or my wife or my family. Do it on Friday. Okay, don't do it on Saturday. You know, we used to have these late activities on Saturday, and we found out something. You have activities on Saturday, people don't come to church as much on Sunday. We had church. No, that was not church. That was Christmas lights. Okay? That was a meal. But that's how it is. Look, you come dragging in here and your kids are falling asleep and, and you're falling asleep, and sometimes you're ill, and I understand that, and if you fall asleep, I'm the one that put you to sleep, so it's my fault anyhow, okay? But sometimes we're just not ready. And so we never go do it. Look, people ask us, you know, let's do something on Saturday night. Let's go out to eat. I'm like, no, not doing it. I'm going to be at home. I think the last time, Brother Pineda almost talked me into it. They were all going to eat somewhere. And they were over our house, and he kept describing the restaurant. And I'm like, man, that sounds good. And he almost had me. I'm like, but I don't want to go out late on Saturday. I'm not going to do it. No, it will only be an hour. I've been there. I've done that. I know how that works. It's never just an hour. So I'm like, you guys go and have a good time. I'm just going to stay home, all right? And so don't, especially if you have children, okay? You have little kids. If they're up till 11 on Saturday, pray for their Sunday school teacher on Sunday. It's going to be, you know, and then you load them up with sugar. It's a bad combination. But be careful about being out late on Saturday. That just sets the tone. No, I'm not saying you can't do anything. I'm just saying that's just me. I want to be prepared on Sunday. I want to be rested. I want to be ready to go. Next, always be looking for new people to bring to church with you. Man, when there's somebody at church and they're newer and you're helping them and you're working with them, or maybe you invited them, that just helps you. It's like, man, you have a reason to be there, and you're a little bit more excited about it. Be looking for new people. Come expecting to receive encouragement. By the way, if you look for the negative, you can find it every time. Some people can find something bad about everything. How many? By the way, I could do that. How many of you are like that? You go in and everything's wonderful. That one thing right there. What are they doing? I mean, 99.9% of everything else in the restaurant or wherever you're at is nice. That one thing, okay? And so that's what happens with us sometimes. Let's make sure we come expecting to receive encouragement. If we don't expect it, we're not going to get it, okay? That's just how it works. The next bullet, come looking to give encouragement. It's a two-sided street. If the traffic goes that direction, it also comes this direction. And so let's also look, how can we be, there's probably somebody that'll be at church that's going through something, that's having a hard time, maybe just needs a pat on the back. How are you doing? You know, I'll pray for you, that type of thing. And we can give that encouragement. People don't, sometimes we can be so hard-headed on everything that we never give encouragement. People don't need encouragement. Yeah, they do. Read 2 Corinthians. Okay, comfort and all that different things he talks about, and it's all throughout the Bible. Let's give encouragement. Next, be involved with the music. Be involved in the music. That doesn't mean the whole church needs to be in the choir, amen? I've heard some of you sing. But not all of you are as bad as you think you are. We do have a choir for everybody in the church. It's called congregational singing. Okay, get to know the songs, know the words of the songs. And when we sing, you sing, and it's like, well, you've never heard me sing before. That's one nice thing about having a little bit of a bigger church. When you sing, we're just going to drown you out. Okay, you add the volume, pump up the volume, you add the volume, and someone will also add the actual melody and harmony and all those other things we're supposed to have. But sing, be a part of it. And then in the specials, enjoy the singing. When someone's getting up there and singing and they're doing their best, you say, well, I don't like that type of music. Let me park over here for a minute. That's because of what you're listening to when you're away from church. If you're listening to garbage, you're not going to like what we sing here. Listen, when I came out of the world and rock and roll is my whole world, and I sat there as an 18-year-old listening to them sing in church, and I'm like, that's lame. No, not what they were saying, but that music. I'm like, I don't like that stuff. But I knew my stuff was junk, so I chucked it. But after a while, God got a hold of my heart, and I'm like, I wasn't listening to my junk anymore, and that started to sound really good. And then I heard the words, and I liked it, and it was good. And so get involved with the singing. These people that sing, the vocalists, or whatever you want to call them, and the people that on the instruments and so forth, they put time into that. You know, they don't just come up and say, y'all pray for me, I didn't get time to practice this week. No, they've practiced, and they've practiced, and they practice. Next, be open to His Word. Be open to His Word, okay? Are you really here to hear what the Bible says? do we really want to know what God says? Because I just kind of think, certain people talk, you know, and people listen. Because they know what they're talking about. Listen, regardless of his politics, which I don't, they are, Warren Buffett, I know he knows a little bit about money. Now, I don't follow him, but guys that are in that type of field, if he talks, they have a tendency to listen. Who was the guy? Was it Greenspan? That was the Treasury head for, like, through Reagan and all those years. And he knew what he was doing with the Treasury. He stayed through several presidents. When he talked about the economy, people listened. He knew what he was talking about. Well, you know what? God knows about everything. And so when God talks, it's like we ought to listen. What does his word say? What exactly is going on? Let's be ready to listen to the preaching. And by the way, I think you ought to have a Bible and bring your Bible and look at the words of the Bible. Find out what God's saying. By the way, we're not just making stuff up here. Okay? Next, be involved in giving. Be involved in giving. Okay? If you're going to receive something, give something. Follow God. You're investing. Now, you know, the good thing about giving is you don't have to actually give in the offering plate to give. We have simple give. I do ours on Saturday night. I'm doing the finances, and I pull it out. I pull my phone out, and we give, okay? But I'm a part of that. I want to be a part of what's going on here. Teach your children. Let them bring something, you know? Be a part of what's going on. All right, this one won't be popular. Here we go. Be on time! Now, I understand our society. You know, I don't get it, and I don't get it, but we do funerals, and I don't understand how people come in halfway or two-thirds of the way through a funeral. Well, he's dead. He's not going to know. Okay. The funeral is not for the dead person. It's for the living. Or you come to a wedding, and people come in late. Now, if it's the bride, you really have an issue. Okay? And if you do, you should be fired. If your boss says, hey, you need to be here at this time, we have this important meeting, you're there. And all of us that work have jobs where we have to be to work before 9:30 in the morning, which is when Sunday school starts, before 5 o'clock at night. Now I'll throw this disclaimer. I know you're late on Thursdays because some of you are coming from work, okay? So I'm not, no, if you were just at McDonald's, no, shame on you. That food will kill you. But, you know, let's just be on time. You walk in. By the way, you disturb people. When I was at First Baptist, our bus ministry, the pastor said, and this is a church of 10,000, he said, if you come in late, I would rather that the kids on your bus not go to class than to go into class and disrupt those kids that are sitting there listening. By the way, they fired bus captains for coming in late. Because it's like, listen, think about that. Now, I understand if you're on a weird schedule or whatever, sneak in. That doesn't bother me. But if we're late on Sundays just because we don't want to be here on time. Next, minimize distractions in your life. Whatever it is. Maybe you get the clothes ready on Sunday morning. That works for you. If you have 27 children, you know, you might want to do that on Saturday night or whatever. Minimize all those distractions. You know, well, I like to cook a full breakfast, you know, eggs and bacon and biscuits and gravy and more biscuits and more gravy. And then you put bacon in the gravy with coffee, cream, no sugar. Got to get it right. I kind of just talked myself into that one. Maybe Sunday you don't have time to do that. Maybe the kids get cereal. Give them the type without sugar so they're not all over the map. But no, I don't teach children Sunday school. Go ahead, give them sugar. Load them up. But whatever you have to do, minimize those distractions so you come. And then realize this. Fight the invisible battle. You ever notice how bad things happen on your way to church? Right? Just to get your mind off what's going on. Just to kind of, Satan throws that at you. Or things happen to try to get you to not come or do this. Let's fight the invisible battle. Let's be prepared when we come to church. Letter F, let's know what type of church we are. Okay? The sign out there is fairly clear. It's Pacific Baptist Church. We don't have that. Baptist stands for something. It's not Pacific Non-Denominational Church. We're not a denomination. Now we are non-denominational, but that's too vague. It's not Pacific Family Church. Okay? And we're not going to tone it down. Pacific Ocean, we're not the wave. Listen, when I hear the wave, I don't want to go to church. You go to surfing. Okay? We're Pacific Baptist Church. Why? Baptist stands for something. And by the way, we're not welcome to Pacific. You know, we're going to put Baptist where it's invisible. Our web address isn't pacificchurch.com. We're pacificbaptist.com. Okay? That's who we are. That's what we're going to be. Look, people understand what Baptist, they understand that it stands for something. Okay? And so, are Baptists the only ones who are Christians? No, there's other people that are Christians. But Baptist incorporates the beliefs that are closer to what we believe the Bible teaches and incorporates all these different beliefs. You say, well, what are those beliefs? Okay, well, here they are. Look at the acrostic Baptist, B-A-P-T-I-S-T-S. It's amazing how people cannot spell Baptist. Baptist, B-A-P-I-S, it's all over the map. Bam. All right, what does it stand for? Well, B stands for the Bible we use as our sole authority for faith and practice. That's where we get our marching orders, okay, from the Bible. We try to follow the Bible. Does the Bible tell you what color the bathrooms are? No. Whatever looks nice and is on sale, that's what tells us what color the bathrooms are going to be. Just kidding. But kind of, actually. But listen, But you understand the important things. There are things you say, well, I went to other churches and they did these things. Why don't you do them? I'll tell you why. Because we just don't believe that's what the Bible wants. Or we believe that would lead us a direction that would put us to a place where we would become what the Bible doesn't want us to become. So we're careful about that. A is for the autonomy of the church. That's a big word. Is that one autonomy blank? How do you spell it? I have no idea. Spell it phonetically. Okay, autonomy. What does autonomy mean? Self-governing. We are an independent Baptist church. In other words, we are not part of a denomination. There is no headquarters anywhere that tells this church what to do. Okay? And by the way, we have churches that we fellowship with of like faith, but they have nothing to do with this church. Okay? And we don't have some leader in some city somewhere, even though we're not a denomination, but we follow everything he says because he's our guru. And in Phoenix, we don't do that. It's not who we are. We're not. We have sister churches that we fellowship with, Brother Goddard and others. There's a lot of them. But listen, they have no business to tell us what we're doing here. I don't have to get on the internet every week and listen to him and decide what we're going to do in the church because he says it. Okay? We follow the Bible. The pastor decides that with the lay leadership of the church. That's important. Because if you're not autonomous, someone else is telling you what to do. Listen. Different parts of this country are different. You go to some cities and you're going to have, a white church. They're all white. Now, why? Well, if that city's predominantly white, okay? Listen, if you come to this church and we're predominantly white, that's a problem. This city is not white. In fact, us white people are the minorities. Leave us alone. I'll sue you, okay? I'll kneel during the congregational singing. No, our church ought to look like it does every nationality because that's our city. We're an international city. Let's be that church. But anyhow, I got off on that. I'm going to take a knee. P, the priesthood of believers. Now, what does that mean? You get to wear a gown. No, it doesn't mean that. Priesthood. You know what that means? The Old Testament, certain times the priest is the only one that could come into the Holy of Holies to represent us before God. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ abolished that. We can go directly to Jesus Christ. We don't need anybody to go for us. We don't need Mary, not Mrs. Esposito, I mean, or your daughter. We don't need The Virgin Mary, by the way, she had children, so that's not working. We don't need her to go to God for us. We can go straight to God because of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Okay? And so that's what that means. You say, I need prayer for something. We ought to pray together as a team, but never understand this. If you're a Christian, you can go straight to God, and God's willing to listen to you. Okay? And that's a good thing. The two offices of the church. Pastor and deacon. Okay? Pastor, you can call it bishop, it's pastor. Pastor and deacon. There's no cardinals. There's no, there's no whatever other things they put. The presbyter. Those are the offices of the church. Now, there's many different ministry descriptions that we have in the church, but those are the two official offices. We don't have a pope. Okay? I wouldn't look good in a dress or a funny hat either. What is I? The individual soul liberty. We believe in free will. We are not Calvinist. Say, what is it? By the way, if you understand what I mean, if you don't understand what I mean by that, I'll tell you what this means and you won't have an issue with it. But if you understand that stuff, you ought to look at the life of Calvin. He was not a good guy. Okay? But anyhow, that's me on that. Calvinism is God has either chose you for heaven or hell, and you're on your way to wherever. If God didn't choose you for heaven, there's nothing you can do to get saved. And if God chose you for heaven, you're going to get saved regardless of what goes on. Now look, if we understand that, if we believe that, number one, no more money on tracks. Number two, no more, well really, why are we here on this earth? Why didn't God just take us to heaven when we got saved and we could fellowship with him right away? Because we don't need to help anybody. Okay? We don't believe that. Every single person will go to heaven or hell based on the choice that they chose to make. They chose to make. Okay, that was bad English. Okay? You go to heaven, it's because, now thank God for his grace, of course, don't get me wrong, but you have that right to reject or receive him. And so does everybody else. That's why it's imperative we get the gospel out. S is the saved and baptized who make up the membership of the church. Okay? You have to be saved. You have to be baptized. You have to be baptized correctly, by the way. What's that? Immersion. Immersion means you have to go under the water. By the way, that's what the word baptized means. I mean, people want to argue, well, what about sprinkling? Listen, I wish we could sprinkle. It'd be so much easier. We wouldn't have to fill that up. We wouldn't have to heat it. We get a cup of water, boom, boom, we're out of here. Fact of the matter, we do drive-bys. Get a hose and I'll wash your car and baptize you at the same time. That's easy. That's not what the word means. And by the way, it's picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay? He wasn't sprinkled with dirt. He was buried in the tomb, of course, but he was buried, completely buried. It was sealed up. T is for the two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism, and we looked at baptism earlier, okay? And we practice the Lord's Supper. By the way, you say, how often should you practice it? God leaves it up to the churches as often as you will, however each church decides to do it. We do it once every 3 months on Sunday night as a church family. And it's a time when we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it's a time when we examine ourselves, we remember his blood, that's the juice. We remember that he gave his body to be broken for us, that's the bread. And then we think about our life. Is our life in accordance with what God wants? Is there changes that God wants us to make in our life based on the way we're living? And that's what the Lord's Supper is. The Lord's Supper is not, as the Catholic Church says, they say the bread becomes the literal body of Christ. That's false doctrine. They literally believe the priest does a little prayer over the bread, and the bread now is the literal body of Christ, and the juice, and they give you fermented stuff, and it's the literal blood of Christ. No, it's not. Symbolic. Okay? Symbolizes his blood and his body. And then S. Separation of church and state. Now, that is misunderstood. By the way, it is not, we have a wall of separation of work. That's not in the Constitution. That's not in any of our founding legal documents. Okay, Thomas Jefferson wrote it to the Danbury Baptists. because when our forefathers fled England, they were fleeing a country where you were mandated to be a part of the Church of England, and you were mandated to tithe to the Church of England. Now, I'm not against necessarily mandated tithing. We don't do that here. But you had to. And that's what they were fleeing. And so they were concerned that could happen again. And Jefferson said, no, there's a wall. What, it doesn't mean there's a wall. The government cannot, anything that's religious, they kick out. Actually, it's not anything that's religious anymore. They only kick out Christianity. Okay? That just means the government has no right to interfere with the church. There's that wall there. We have freedom to worship God as our conscience dictates. And so that's what we believe in. Okay? Letter G. We'll just read a couple verses and then we'll finish it up next week with this one. By the way, I don't steal stuff from other people, but the points on this one I actually got from John Castle. I was busy and I'm like, brother, I need some help. Can you write the rest of this message out for me? No, actually he told me what he's teaching in his Sunday school class and I like the points. I'm like, that's good. I want to add this to this because I already knew I was doing this. But let's love our church. Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives. We're not teaching on marriage, but try that. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow. By the way, that's hard for husbands to do. Oh, my soul. That's one of those, it's like, I'm going to get as close as I can, Lord, but help me on that one. That he might sanctify it, the church, and cleanse it with washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be a holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Because why? Jesus. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. You ought to come to the place where this you're here and you say, this isn't just the church. This isn't just the church I attend, I'm a member of. I love this place. This is your church. Yours. Well, I go to his church. It ain't mine. It's yours. It's ours. And we ought to have some type of love for it. And love is an emotional attachment, but it's also seen in the actions that we do. If we love our church, we're going to do some certain things that we'll talk about next week. But we ought to love our church. You say, but there's someone in the church I'm upset with. Talk to them. Get that fixed. Okay? A lot of times when there's something between people, if they'll just stop and talk about it, it's over. Something happened. I'm not quite sure. Okay, we'll talk about it. Well, see what happens sometimes. People get upset and say, why are you, what's going on? Well, this happened and you didn't do anything about it. I'm like, did you ever actually tell anybody that this was irritating? No. Okay, well, I'll just get my crystal ball and see if I can read someone else's mind. No. Well, no. By the way, all of us take responsibility and love for the church. We're going to want to do what we can to make it better, right? And so it's our church. Let's love our church. You say, how do you love your church? We have to come back next Thursday. Sorry about that. All right? Let's pray.